With encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, this is Abounding Grace. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, our chance to get together for a few minutes each and every day that we might be encouraged in Christ. Now, won't you take a moment and join us? We're brought to you in part through the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Here now is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, yesterday we left off with the thought the Apostle Paul left us with in Philippians chapter 3 as we've been working through this chapter this week, the end of this chapter, verses 20 and 21, where he says our citizenship is in heaven. He really is presenting to us that there are two types of people in this world, in which one is either in one of two kingdoms. And he's here to describe those who are earthly minded, who are in pursuance of this kingdom of this world, and there are certain characteristics that define them. There really is no neutral ground in the eyes of the Lord. You are either in allegiance to one or to the other. You are either in the kingdom of this world and a slave to your own sin, which is essentially bondage to the father of lies, the devil. And what characterizes you then is that the lusts of the flesh guide your action. The covetousness of your eyes drives a straining forward for this world. As he says, one sets their heart and their mind on earthly things. The pride of life seeks to establish your own righteousness and your own glory, which Paul says is its own shame. But the other life he's presented to us is radically different. Everything has been switched. And that's the beauty of the gospel, my friends. The very status of condemned to justified. Very bondage of slavery and bondage to sin and to evil, which holds sway over your heart so that you continue to do these things, instead of those who've been brought into this other kingdom where now they have the freedom to walk in righteousness and life. From being under the direct sway of the evil one to being under the yoke of Christ, which is easy and light and refreshing. From being bound for hell to now becoming a citizen already of heaven. And that is really what Paul is saying, strain on towards that. It's not in question for those who've come to Christ, for those who've sought to lose their lives to gain him. For you, there's only joy, only happiness, only the end result, the salvation of your soul. A place around the throne room in heaven to work and to serve your Lord for an eternity. But I would be the biggest hypocrite, even as a pastor, if I didn't say, I even feel the strains pulling me back to this world. Every Christian does. He feels the weight of the words that the Apostle Paul says here. The same temptations are present in all of us. But he is saying that we are called to live in light of the very status that we have as children of God, with the rights that have been given to us in Christ. That we are now able to live in the power of Christ's resurrection. That we are now able to live in the law of perfect liberty. That we have the audience of the entire heavenly horseman to aid us. That we have the ear of God who is ready and willing to answer and deliver us in our deepest distress. But we must call out to him. We must humble ourselves this day and lay aside, as the Bible says, every weight of sin that so easily ensnares us in this race. And we must take with holy passion and storm this heaven that is ours in Christ. You know, it's absolutely true. There's no better test of your Christianity than by asking, what am I really pursuing in this life? What is my view of this world? Do the sorrows that fill this world make me long for my heavenly home? You turn on the news at night and hear of the sick, perverse crimes that are outlined there, and so on, all these evils, murders and rapists and all these terrible things, and lawlessness abounds, and it even sins, horrible sins fill our own hearts. Doesn't it make you long in your heart to rid yourself of these things? That can't be right. Even the natural man knows that. Does not the sway that I see the devil hold over countless millions who will suffer the just judgment of God make me yearn for Christ to save this lost world and usher forth the heavenly Jerusalem so that nothing that defiles can enter there? Oh yes, the test of your Christianity is to let the words of Jesus flow through your veins and in your minds, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. You see, Paul closes this final appeal by saying there are three things that are to come. He says in verse 20, "For our citizenship is in heaven." And then listen to what he says first that is to come. "From which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Christ visibly and bodily will return, and that could be at any moment. And we are eagerly waiting for this. This means that we are in eager anticipation of Christ's second coming. And I love how Paul says this. Notice the first thing he says, the Savior. I mean, to us who have believed, he's precious, right? I mean, what a truth he's conveying to us. He's not coming as our judge. He's not coming to judge the Christian, but as Savior. We've already had our sins dealt with. And so we're looking forward to the climax of history, the time when the Savior will come and take us to the home that is already ours, for our citizenship is in heaven. And so what really do the sufferings of this present time compare in light of what is shortly to come? What really do the silly squabbles that we find ourselves involved in with other Christians, what does it really tell us? Well, it tells us we're too earthly minded, that we have not yet seen that together we are on this upward heavenly path, waiting the greatest moment in history. What really then do the loss of loved ones and the present afflictions, as much as they hurt and as wrong as they are, what do they really compare with the glory that shall soon be revealed? Oh yes, let the nations rage, let the kingdoms be stirred, but we belong and we are waiting for the Savior to come from heaven, who will come and deliver us and take us to our eternal home by name. Second, he says in verse 21, so we're waiting for the Savior Jesus Christ to come. Second, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. That is the glory of what 1 Corinthians 15 describes. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, so we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. What a beautiful, beautiful passage of scripture. These very bodies that have been subjected to death and decay all of our lives will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, and bear the very image and the very likeness of the heavenly man, Christ Jesus. What a glorious day that is coming. And then he says one more thing. And finally, this will be according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Paul was saying everything, even the mightiest empire of Rome, the mightiest monarch ever to exist in this world, even the greatest president of the United States, the devil, even the devil himself, who's troubled us and God's people, even every single soul that's ever existed, will be subdued and bow to this King, Jesus Christ. You know, I've had many things in life that I've looked forward to. Different points of joy as I grew up. Remember as a child, summers. I would always look forward to summers playing with friends. And as I grew older, graduation, high school, you know, now that's come and gone. Would I ever get my driver's license? I did. College, would I ever graduate? My diploma's on the wall. Would I ever get married? Wonderful wife and children. I never thought I would see the day I would graduate even from seminary, and there's a Latin diploma that sits in my office. Would I be a father? Yes. Would all of these things happen? Well, my friends, the greatest of all that I am and waiting for is still to come, and it will come to pass. It will happen. Jesus Christ will come and will make everything right that has been wronged. There are many things that haven't been so right along the way. Seeing grandparents die, haven't had to face yet the death of my own parents. Seeing loved ones face hard trials. Seeing friends killed in car accidents, I've seen that. Seeing violence, all sorts of evils. Feeling the weight of the devil, the law, sin and death and hell behind me, as Bunyan said, trying to take my life. Not only am I waiting for his return, but I'm also waiting for Christ to come and to make all these things right that have been very wrong. I will even see my loved ones who have believed in Jesus raised to life. I mean, this is our hope. This is our pursuit. This is the Christian life. And the gospel brings all of these joys and comforts in Christ Jesus our Lord. Don't you want this? Oh, you want, it's the glorious thing, the most wonderful truth of being a Christian, that he gives you these comforts in this life of peace and joy. So I close this week with this series in Philippians saying, if you are a Christian today, you must run for this. Asking, do you live in pursuit of this? Do you live knowing that your citizenship is in heaven? How many slothful are out there today not even running so as to win the prize? If you're not running today and you're not a Christian, I want you to hear John Bunyan's plea. He says this, they that will go to heaven must run for it, because perchance the gates of heaven may be shut shortly. Sometimes sinners have not heaven's gates open to them so long as they suppose. And if they be once shut against a man, they are so heavy that all the men in the world, nor all the angels in heaven, are not able to open them. I shut, and no man opens, says Christ. And how if you should come 1 hour too late? I tell you, it will cost you an eternity to bewail your misery in. What? To be shut out of heaven? Sinner, rather than lose it, run for it. Yes, so run that you may obtain. Oh, Christians, on with it then. By his grace, may you persevere to the end. He has loved you this day with an enduring love. He's made you a citizen of heaven. Look up to heaven today and see what is yours by right as a son and what is shortly to come. And go forth then in confidence and sweet assurance, knowing that he who promised is faithful, and in due time your Christ will appear, and he will give you the crown of glory that will never fade away. Do you desire that? Paul is saying to you today, and he said to you this week, your citizenship is in heaven as a Christian. Oh, I plead with those who do not have this citizenship, who do not have this hope, who do not have this joy. Don't you want this kind of life that the apostle here describes, that God is calling you to receive? Oh, it is only given to you in Jesus Christ. You must bow to him today. You must submit your life to him. You must confess your sins. You must repent and turn away from the evil that has so dominated and so controlled your life, and come to this life of freedom, this life of peace, this life of inward joy that is yours only in Jesus Christ our Lord. May the comforts then of this sweet gospel of grace compel all of us to press forward, to run forward to this prize that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord, that will soon be here at his final coming.
Well, we need to close out our broadcast here, but we do look forward to joining you next time we get together as we continue our look at God's Word, that we might grow in Christ and be mutually encouraged. This has been Abounding Grace, the ministry extension of United Reformed Church of Linden, with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Copies of what you hear on Abounding Grace are available. You need only call or write to us for the details. Our phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. And as you contact us, remember, we're available on this radio station in part through your partnership with us. As you link arms with us financially and prayerfully, we're able to continue the ministry here on this radio station, encouraging you and others in Christ. Would you prayerfully consider how you might partner with us? We thank you in advance. If you'd like to know more about United Reformed Church of Linden, Abounding Grace, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities here at the church, stop by our website, lindenurc.com. Again, lindenurc.com. If you're joining us for worship, we meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Sundays at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. Directions are available at lindenurc.com or by calling 360-318-0429. We do thank you for joining us and trust we'll see you again next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.